Following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 14th chapter, text number 38, given by His Holiness Srila Satsvarupa Das Goswami on December 12, 1993, in Puerto Rico.
Translation: O King Yudhisthira, the super soul in every body gives intelligence to the individual soul according to his capacity for understanding. Therefore, the Supersoul is the chief within the body. The Supersoul is manifested to the individual soul according to the individual's comparative development of knowledge, austerity, penance, and so on. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, it is said, Mataksmatir jnanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His localized aspect, gives intelligence to the individual soul as far as he is able to grasp it. Therefore, we find the individual soul in different high and low positions. A living entity with the body of a bird or beast cannot take instructions from the Supreme Soul as adequately as an advanced human being. Thus, there are gradations of bodily forms. In human society, the perfect Brahmana is supposed to be the most advanced in spiritual consciousness. And further advanced than the Brahmana is the Vaishnava. Therefore, the best persons are the Vaishnavas and Vishnu. When charity is to be given, one should take instruction from Bhagavad Gita 17:20. Dātāvyam iti yadānam dīyate nupakārine deshe kale ca patre ca tadānam satvikam smritam. That gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of return is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. One should give charity to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. For thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be worshipped. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya comments, Brahmadi stavarani teshu navishesho hare kuchit vyakti matra visheshena taratmyam vadanticha. Beginning from Brahma down to the ant, everyone is conducted by the Supersoul, Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridesh arjuna tishtati. But because of a particular person's advancement in spiritual consciousness, he is considered to be important. Therefore, the Brahman, Vaishnava, is important, and above all, the Supersoul, the Personality of Godhead, is the most important personality. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha-sunyavani-pastitari-satarani. So this is continuing the discussion from yesterday about the Lord in the heart and His relationship with the individual soul. We learned that the Lord is in the heart of all creatures just to keep them alive and to help them in their attempt at material enjoyment. But in the case of the human being, he can have a more advanced relationship with the Supreme Soul. So this is continued here, that this verse is very explicit, that the Super Soul will be manifest more in a person according to that person's capacity. And the animals have a very limited capacity. Their capacity would be only to get help for eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. And for that, they need the super soul. So the human being has a higher consciousness. That means he can get help from the Lord in the heart for something more than eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. He can inquire into the nature of life, why do I have to suffer, and how I can understand my spiritual nature and relationship with God and gain eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Certainly for this, he needs the help of the Supreme Lord in the heart, as well as the Lord in the form of the spiritual master and the scriptures and so on. So this capacity for intelligence is expanded in the human form. We may ask, well, what's the difference between intelligence and getting dictation from the super soul? In one sense, they're the same thing, because your intelligence, what we consider human intelligence or the soul's intelligence, it doesn't stand independent. So someone is more intelligent if God, in his heart, enlarges that capacity. There's one purport in the second canto where Prabhupada gives a kind of proof, just based on perception, how you can perceive that God is in your heart. And he says, by the evidence of presence of intelligence, when you can locate intelligence, the discriminating factor within yourself, you can understand by further and further analysis that it's coming from a higher director. And so Prabhupada, he uses the expression, intelligence is the form direction of the Lord. Just it's a kind of presence of God. We see Krishna in the deity. We understand Krishna in the holy name. So when there is intelligence, that's the form direction of Krishna. Meaning he directs you how to do your material activities, and if you have the capacity, God directs you to himself. Yetesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti bhurvakam. Buddhi yoga. That's Buddhi yoga. So therefore we can say that intelligence, where there's intelligence, that means the super soul is manifesting. But to really be manifesting, it would be even more direct than just the presence of intelligence. There was a conversation Prabhupada had with some news reporters in New York City, and 1976. And one of them, they were asking him different questions, and they said, how do you make your decisions for this big movement? What to do, who to pick to be the leaders, and so on. So Prabhupada said, I don't know the exact quote, but he said, Krishna tells me. So then one of the devotees who was present in the interview got a little anxious that the news reporter would maybe misunderstand this. The Prabhupada was making some extraordinary claim. Krishna talks to me, Krishna tells me. So just so the newspaper man could understand, he began to make a purport in that remark. He said, what Prabhupada means is that God is present in our heart as intelligence. So so in his form of intelligence, that is what Prabhupada means, that Krishna is telling him how to make decisions. So Prabhupada, he didn't like that remark. He said, no, why do you say that? He said, why say it indirectly? He said, it is direct. Krishna tells me. So that was the realization of his disciple, that he wanted to make Prabhupada more clear and presentable. But it wasn't, the Prabhupada's realization was something higher and more personal, that Krishna may tell me personally what to do, or does. So, but the other remark is also true, although it's a lesser, more indirect presence of Krishna, that when your intelligence is working, that's coming from God. Of course, when we're so persistent for doing nonsense, sinful activities, then, strange as it sounds, Krishna gives us the intelligence how to do that. And that's the meaning of the word duskritina. Those who do meritorious acts, kritina, but duskritina, they do them for wrong reasons. So they use their scientific brain to make an atom bomb, to kill many people, and so on. They're the people who are qualified to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitavo traparamo niramatsaranam satam. Non-envious is also like non-violence. So he loves all living beings. We were describing that yesterday, that the super soul should be seen as present in everyone's heart. Therefore, everyone is part and parcel of God, and I should have good feelings toward them. That's required for it being a Vaishnava. And I should manifest it and somehow manifest God's mercy to the other parts and parcels of Krishna. Tell them, God is so great. God is our friend. Krishna is our friend. Boktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam. And then we can be kind to others. And we're not envious if somebody has something that we don't have, either material or spiritual. That's a Vaishnava. So you can examine yourself if you're envious, if you know how to take spirit out of the mixture of spirit and matter, then you're a Vaishnava. And then the third quality is dependent on Krishna. So in real ways, he's always renounced from other attractions or other sources of dependence, and he just depends on Krishna. I have nothing to fear, and I'm nothing to be attracted to in this material world. Krishna will provide, Krishna will protect me. I depend on him. Now, the more you consider it, the Vaishnava, Prabhupada, he used to like to quote Paradukaduki, the Vaishnava is one who becomes unhappy by seeing the unhappiness of others. So he's compassionate, wants to give Krishna consciousness to others. Not that he wants to give them material things in the name of compassion, but he wants to give them that which will relieve them from all suffering again and again. Now, mostly we'll have to conclude that we're not Vaishnavas, that we are aspiring to be Vaishnavas, or we're aspiring to serve the Vaishnavas. That's a tall order to claim that you're a Vaishnava. Like if someone, we may do that for convention, if someone says, what is your religion? A man asked me the day before yesterday in Trinidad at the going through the formalities to get out of the country. I didn't say Vaishnava, I said Hare Krishna. But to someone else, you might say, oh, I'm a Vaishnava. To distinguish that I'm not a Shaivite, I'm not a Christian, and so on. We're not afraid to say that. But in terms of realization, a Vaishnava is a very glorious, very, very rare person. So we can say I'm trying to serve the Vaishnavas. And that's very great, Vaishnava Seva, that position. I want to serve the Vaishnavas life after life. Sometimes Prabhupada would very leniently talk about his devotees. There was one time in this movement, it was like a, if you call the Hare Krishna movement a cult, as Prabhupada used to, there was a cult within the cult. There was a cult of some of the disciples thinking that one disciple was a very special person. He was actually a guru before he met Prabhupada. So he joined and his followers joined. And they maintained this idea that he was very special. So one of them wrote to Prabhupada and they said, is so-and-so a pure devotee? That's our understanding. So the word pure devotee had a kind of like a mystique about it. What was meant by that, pure devotee? So Prabhupada wrote back in one letter, all my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. But we should take that as his mercy or his leniency to talk about us that way. So if one is a pure devotee, or to the degree that one is a pure devotee, he's more in touch with the super soul. That's the point being made here. And what is the basis of that? It says here, the super soul is manifested to the individual soul according to the individual's comparative development of knowledge and austerity. So these are things that we can develop. It's not that we're born in a certain low state and we have to remain in that low state. You can develop. Like austerity practices. And the more that you develop them, in the right kind of austerity, then Krishna will be pleased. The leading devotee of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, Sadaput Prabhu, he once wrote an article about what he called inspiration for the scientists and scientific-minded, whereby you try to give some material proof for something in Krishna consciousness because they don't accept scripture. So he was talking about this phenomena of inspiration, which even the materialists recognize and they cannot figure out. And he was giving different historical examples where, say, a mathematician, he was trying very hard to solve some problem, or a chemist in a lab looking for something to produce some desired thing. And trying and trying and trying, working hard so many hours and everything, but he couldn't understand it. And then, like in a flash, all of a sudden, it came to him. So they, different persons have told that I was trying and trying, and then I was on the bus going home. I got off the bus, and all of a sudden the whole thing became revealed to me. Or in my sleep, I woke up and I knew it. And what they knew represented some amazing amount of thought-out process, which the brain had all of a sudden gone through and given him the answer. So Sadaput was taking this just as a suggestion. And the materialists themselves, they didn't know what it is, this factor of inspiration, that suddenly you get the answer. So Sadaput was saying, we understand from Vedic knowledge that this person was being rewarded for his austerity by God, that you're, although it wasn't a God-conscious thing he was trying, you're trying so hard to figure this out, I'll give you the intelligence. I know the answer that you're trying to get. I can give it to you in a minute. Here it is. So there is some interaction like that. And then there are some examples of persons who are born with extraordinary gifts. I think he gave the example of the composer Mozart, who when he was, 6 or 8 years old, he started... in the most casual way, he began to write down all these symphonies like it was child's play, all the most beautiful classical music that 300 years later to this day is admired as some of the best music ever composed. And it was just flowing out of him like water. So that genius, we understand, no one can explain that. There's no scientific explanation for a Mozart at 6 years old writing symphonies. So the explanation we know is that from previous activities, he was highly developed in this way, had great desires, performed great austerities, and now is just manifesting again through the grace of the super soul. So why not, if one wants the real inspiration, the divine inspiration, the divine intelligence, to turn to Krishna? It's such a simple thing that we want. But it requires inspiration. We want to finally wake up and understand, why am I always kicking myself and letting myself get kicked in this material world by thinking that I'm the enjoyer and the center of everything? I want to give it up and turn to Krishna. Krishna is my friend. That's the inspiration we want. That what I hear in the scriptures is true. Won't that be wonderful? Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will the day come when, by chanting Hare Krishna, tears will flow from my eyes? But every one of us has the right, by constitution, that's our nature, that we have that relationship with the holy name and with Krishna. So we hope that day will come, like the like the mathematician. That we also, we're hearing and hearing, and somehow it doesn't get through. We hear, I'm not this body, and the class is over, and then we act as if we're this body. Or we hear that we should love Krishna, but we love something else. We're attached to me and mine. So maybe one day we'll also be doing something and all of a sudden it will come to us. Actually, I'm spirit soul. I love Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, he changed his life like that. When he was a young man, he didn't manifest himself as a pure devotee. He manifested himself as a very intelligent Brahmin, very religious, but not so focused on worship of Krishna. More interested in debating and scholarship and so on. And then he went to Gaya on the pretext of performing the Shraddha ceremony for his departed father and to make some wealth. And while he was there, he saw the lotus feet of Vishnu in Gaya, and he met his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, and had a sudden transformation. So that when he came back to West Bengal, he was like intoxicated, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And people who would see him, they would become intoxicated. And from then on, he began a Sankirtan movement. And those who were not devotees, they said, what has happened with Nimai? He used to be such a nice person. And now he's like a crazy man. All he can say is Krishna, Krishna. Even in his little school he has in the village, when he teaches grammar, everything is, this is Krishna, this is Krishna, this is Krishna. So, this is what happened. But maybe it will not be so dramatic with us, but bit by bit, we'll get this inspiration. So that's austerity, by austerity. There's another definition Prabhupada gives of austerity in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, tapasya is explained in the Smriti Shastra as follows. Manashas chandriyanam cha aikagayam paramam tapa. Complete control of the mind and senses and their complete concentration on one kind of activity is called tapa. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to concentrate the mind on devotional service. This is first class tapasya. So to exclude other things and to just think of one thing, that kind of concentration, that requires an austerity. Because the mind, it wants to just be splayed out as a kind of easy enjoyment. A little of this, a little of that. And but when like in the school, when the teacher says, concentrate, pay attention. The child is undisciplined. He doesn't want to concentrate. He doesn't have good powers of concentration. He can only do it for a little bit and then do something else according to his whim, according to sense gratification. That's the nature of the mind. I don't like this anymore. So to concentrate on Krishna consciousness requires austerity, but that's the best austerity, to bring the mind back, bring the life back to concentrating on Krishna. So when Krishna sees that you're performing that kind of tapasya, always choosing devotional service over other activities, he'll be pleased to manifest himself to you. And then it'll be easier. It won't be just some dry renunciation. So this is one way that we could develop austerity. The other thing, he says, is knowledge. So knowledge means learning about Krishna by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna sees that you like this, you're attracted to it, then he'll give you more contact with him, or he will manifest himself more in your heart. Yayatamam papajante. When you approaching Krishna in this way, so we should, this should be our prayer, like be determined. Krishna, please reveal yourself to me. Jagannath Swami, Nanapatagami, Bhavatume. O Lord of the universe, kindly reveal yourself to me. I won't give up. I will keep practicing until you manifest yourself in my heart and to my senses in other ways. Dhruva Maharaj, he was so determined. And so even Narada couldn't dissuade him. Then Krishna said, oh, he's so determined, all right. In this way we have to show developing knowledge and developing austerity. I wanted to make one other comment about kind of about on this topic, a little follow-up to what we were talking at the end with Krishna Balaram. He was wondering how these evangelists can make so many claims that God is talking to them. And I was giving him the Krishna conscious version, which I mentioned earlier in this talk. And I found one letter quote from Prabhupada about this, about how to establish the Lord in the heart, how to go about this so that God talks to us, because that is one of the goals of Krishna consciousness. There's another purport where Prabhupada says, nowadays people are interested in the science of religion, and there are professors of religion. He said, but without actual realization so that God talks to you, that such talks of religion are useless. So the evidence has to be that God talks to you, then you know religion. Realization, vijnanam. Therefore, it is the goal of Krishna consciousness, but we can't arrive there cheaply. So Prabhupada wrote in one letter, regarding your question of Paramatma, you are fortunate enough for your sincere service. Krishna as Paramatma, who is sitting within your heart, is now dictating. This is not an unusual reference in Prabhupada's letters. In many letters, he encouraged the devotees that Krishna will reveal to you in their practical service. Devotees would ask, how do we paint Krishna? How can we preach in the colleges? How can I convince the people of Germany to become devotees and all this? So he would give some hints, but then he would often encourage a devotee, you are sincere, Krishna's in your heart, he'll tell you what to do. Go ahead. So we would think like that, that if we serve Prabhupada, then Krishna is giving us intelligence. It doesn't have to be something dramatic, that I have a dream and God appears to me and he says something and I wake up and write it down and then I have to try to figure out how to do it, what he said. But it's coming in other ways, not just by that some spoken sentence, but he gives it the intelligence. He is the form direction. He's sitting within your heart. He is dictating. Krishna is so kind that he wants to help us as soon as he wants to help us as spiritual master in two ways. He helps us from within as Chaitya Guru, and he expands himself externally as Shiksha Guru, instructor, and Diksha Guru, initiator. So the principle is that whatever you are instructed by the Chaitya Guru internally may be confirmed by the instructor or initiator externally. Then your progress will be complete. So that was that point, that we should not only go by the inspiration that God, I think God told me something, but that's internal. And especially if we're not so developed, it always should be confirmed. Someone like Lord Brahma, Tene Brahma Rida Yaadi Kavaya, he was the first learned person. He didn't have a guru other than the Chaitya Guru. There's no other gurus. He was the first person. But that's not something to quote, cite as a, yes, he did that, I'll do that. That's not open to ordinary person. So we do both. All right. I'll stop here. If there's any questions or comments. Yeah.
Prabhupada made this statement, if you understand how Krishna is directing the householder, how to close the house.
Ah.
Telling him to close the house and the thief.
Guard the house, or close the house, yeah.
And the thief, how to steal. So for a materialistic person, it's very difficult to understand this. How to send directing. So they always made the argument, you know, how is this possible?
Hmm. You know, Prabhupada said that and then he'd chuckle, he laughed and he said, so it's very difficult for Krishna. Both these people are coming to him. So we can't understand how Krishna is so powerful that he can do all these things. But that's already been stated here, that that previous purport says just to keep him alive in the body and to enable him to enjoy material facilities. So the super soul, Duskritina, the super soul, has to give or does give intelligence, but you have to get the reaction. So they both be praying to him. And according to so many different factors, the thief, he may successfully steal or not. But Krishna is not to blame. You're to blame for having such illicit desires just to steal other people's property. So even if you successfully steal, then it's just another way that you'll be punished later. So you go to steal, and then later you'll have that karma, and you'll have to be punished. Krishna enables. We're like babies. We can't walk without our father's help. So whatever it is, he has to help us. It's hard to understand. What's hard to understand actually is that he's so lenient, he's so merciful, that he helps us do whatever you want to do. Don't do this. Don't do this. It's not good. You're getting so much trouble. No, I want to do it. I want to do it. All right. Come on. But you're going to have to suffer. He says, I don't care if I want to suffer. I want to do this. And indirectly the person is saying, so you must help me. So Krishna says, of course I will help you. But it is not good. So then they do it, and then they fall down and get hurt. And then hopefully they learn. Krishna is saying, see, I let you do it, but you suffer. Now I tell you again, don't do that. Ask me for something better. No, I want to do this again. I want to steal again, but this time teach me better ways so I won't get caught. And Krishna is saying, there's no way that you won't get punished by stealing. You'll get punished one way or another. I don't care. I want to steal. You must help me. All right, try again. He steals again and again, and he gets hurt. So somebody else, what's hard to understand is somebody else would say, I'm through with you. You go to hell forever. I'll never have anything to do with you. I won't help you with anything. But Krishna, he doesn't ever abandon the soul. There's an eternal relationship. However, Krishna says, Ashuri Shveva Yonishu, that they go further and further into demoniac wombs and further away from me. But still he stays with them. So I think the inability to understand means that you're trying to think of God as a moralist human being, another human being, but he's beyond human morality, good or bad. He's in a transcendental position, and he has to take care of everybody. So what would you do if you were God? How would you take care of everybody's requests? You couldn't do it as expert as he can. You might say, well, I would never let a thief steal. What do you know? You cannot be the supreme controller. Krishna lets them steal as just another way to punish them later. And he's also maybe showing the householder, what is this? You think you're so righteous, you work so hard, you're just another kind of thief anyway. Now I'm going to have all your stuff taken away. You're so attached that he thinks he's right and the thief is wrong. And maybe he's a devotee, and when his goods are stolen, then he thinks, oh, what's the use? Like when Prabhupada, he received word that your pharmacy in Prayag has been burglarized and everything is taken. And Prabhupada just laughed. He said, now I know, it's finished. Now I'll just preach. So God knows, and he's making everything happen. Sometimes the bad man seems to get ahead and the good man seems to suffer. But if he's really a good man, he'll be like a Paramhamsa and see the good in that situation. We may hear like that a pious man prays to God to protect my material wealth and he loses it. Or a thief prays to steal and he's able to steal. But we don't hear about somebody praying for devotional service to Krishna and Krishna cheats him and doesn't give him the real thing. If you pray to Krishna for the real thing, then you'll get it. He doesn't play around and deceive you or confuse you when you're asking for love of Krishna. That he'll award to anyone, thief or householder. Yes?
Is there any kind of way that we can learn how to do this? Because it seems for me, I just
So we're stuck sometimes because something is just too hard to swallow. But so then we have to just pray to Krishna. The worst thing would be to start to distrust Krishna or dislike Krishna. Why did you make this happen? But so if you can't just accept it, like Queen Kunti, she said, all these things were good for me because whenever I suffer, then I have to think of you. The more I think of you, then I'll be liberated and I won't have to suffer in this material world again. That's very advanced. If we can't do that, then at least pray to Krishna, I don't understand. Please be patient with me. I cannot understand it right now as your mercy. It just gives me pain. It seems to be against my devotional service. And yet I know that you are behind everything. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. But I don't understand why you make these things happen to me. So please be patient with me and please reveal to me. And then you should try to associate with Vaishnavas who, like Narada Muni and his representatives, who will always tell you that don't cry, what happened is actually meant to detach you from this material world. With Chitraketu, his son died. And yet Narada told him, it's not a bad thing. You were too attached. But it's very difficult to accept these things. But we should try. If immediately you can't, then don't let that throw you into further despair or doubt or agitation, but just resign yourself and pray to Krishna that I know there's something here that's good for me. We should have that much intelligence. I know it's good. And I can grasp it to some extent, but it hurts. So please, whether it hurts or not, don't give up on me and let me learn the lesson that's here. There's definitely something important happening when we suffer. When a devotee suffers, it's very important, and he's being dragged out of the material mire, being dragged closer to Krishna, if he takes the opportunity. So it's like an opportunity. You will lose the opportunity if you just get very angry. You get non-devotional when something like that happens. And you take advantage of it when you just kind of give up. Say, all right, Krishna, I was trying to control the situation to what I thought was happy, but you're just smashing everything. Please accept whatever happens as Krishna's will, whether you understand it or not. That's the problem. You're trying to understand it, and you can't. A good example is in that chapter on Bhishma's passing away. Yudhisthira was feeling so bad that because of me, millions of people were killed so that I could become the king. Why did this happen like this? So Bhishma told him, don't try to figure it out. It's God's plan, but you cannot understand it. Don't try to understand it. Just accept it. We shouldn't be so proud that I'll only accept it if I understand it. You can't understand it, but accept it anyway. It's God's will for me. And then you'll start to see it. You'll become enlightened how it is good for you. At first you accept it before you understand it. This is the concept of, you call it fate, kala, time, destiny, so on. You have to have some ability to accept things like that. Well, then it should be easier to see that I was the cause of my own suffering. And then try to understand how not to do those things. There's three ways to learn something. One is just by hearing before you do anything wrong. Then you don't do the thing wrong. Don't touch fire. And don't steal. If you steal, you get in trouble with the law. So some people, that's enough for them. But if they're less intelligent, they have to steal and get punished. And then they learn, I don't want to do this again. I went through that suffering, and I'm not going to do it again. All right, so you finally learned. In the third class, they don't ever learn. They can't learn by hearing. They can't learn by suffering. So we should, if you see that I'm the cause of all the troubles, due to my negligence, due to my stupidity, due to my rebelliousness, I get myself in all these troubles. Then try to put yourself under someone else's direction who will lead you out of those difficulties. But if we don't follow anyone's instructions and keep acting in ways that hurt ourselves, then there's no chance. My judgment is always, if you think like that, then you've learned a big lesson. You'll be very humble. My judgment is almost always wrong. I'm always making mistakes. I should just do what Krishna says, and then I'll be confident. I can't trust myself, but I can trust Krishna, I can trust the Vaishnavas.